And as you're being seated, you can find your place in your Bibles this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. And we're taking a slight pause, a slight detour in our series on Bible principles for daily living. This past week, I didn't really do much. I only got out of the house maybe once or twice. And other than that, I just sat around and did a lot of reading. And one of the things I enjoy doing just in general is listening to gospel music and hymns and things of that nature. And one of the hymns that I listened to this week was that hymn we just sang, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And the very last verse, the last line of that hymn got me to thinking and is the basis for the message for this morning. But that hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, the last half of the last verse, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. And this is the phrase that stuck out and got me to thinking and looking at Scripture. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. And so I got to thinking, well, why did the songwriter say and write, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer? And the reality is this morning, the Christian life is a life that in many respects is lived in tension. Because as Christians, we're saved, but we're not yet glorified. We're redeemed, but not yet resurrected. We're justified, but not yet home. We're passing through. And while we pass through, we pray. And we pray because this world is not the sweet by and by just yet. This world is still very much still the nasty now and now. Now someday and someday soon, the sweet by and by is coming. But until that day comes, we are instructed to be a praying people. You're there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I would invite you to look there with me, if you would, at verse number 14. Or actually, verse number 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning at verse number 16 down through the end of the chapter. Verse number 18, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend with, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For a few moments, I'd like to preach to us on this thought, passing through and praying until then. Passing through and praying until then. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And now, Lord, I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, I pray you'd give me strength to preach and to, Lord, say those things which need to be said and refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that need to know Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this place without getting that settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven is their home. And Lord, we pray that if there be one here this morning, they need to be encouraged. We pray, Lord, they'd find encouragement in you and your word and in your house. And Lord, now for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you now and we need you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There's a few things that I'd like us to see, one of which we find here in this text, and that being this. Number one this morning, we see the promise of then. We see the promise of then. Notice again there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice there, if you would, verse number 16. 'For the Lord himself shall descend.' For the Lord himself shall descend. What we have here is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he is correcting confusion here at the church at Thessalonica. Because what the believers had thought, they had saw some believers, they had died, and so some feared that because of their death that they would that they missed Christ's coming. And then those that were left behind, they thought, well, if we die, we're going to miss Christ's coming. And here Paul, he says no. And in verse number 16, he says, "For the Lord himself." For the Lord himself. Not a symbol, not an angel, not spiritualized, not allegorical, but himself. For the Lord himself. And what we have to realize this morning is that Christianity is not waiting for a philosophy. Christianity is waiting for a person. We are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ himself to come back and take us home to heaven with him someday. But you notice how he comes. The Bible says, Paul says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." With a shout. That phrase, "with a shout," it comes from the Greek helemousa, which is it's a military command. It's a sovereign order. And so when Jesus comes and it says with a shout, it's him telling us to come up hither. To come up home, to come on to heaven. This isn't poetic imagery. If anything, it parallels 1 Corinthians 15:52 in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be a literal trumpet, a literal resurrection, a literal catching up, a literal catching away. Notice verse number 17. The Bible says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That word, or that phrase there, again, caught up, again from the Greek, harpazo. It means to seize suddenly, to snatch away. Nowhere in Scripture do we find the word rapture. The word rapture does not appear in your Bibles. But this is where we get the concept of the word rapture. And this is where we get the concept of the doctrine called the rapture. And that is what we believe in as Christians, that we will be caught up. We will be passing through the air. And while ascending, we will shout. Now, what will we shout about? Or why shout? because that day, prayer requests will have been turned into answered sight. We will be passing through the air. That's the then. Then we rise. Then we see. Then faith becomes sight. Then prayer gives way to praise. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever an unbroken presence. No distance. No veil. No absence. Nothing between us and the Savior any longer. We'll be with Him forevermore. That right there. That is the sweet by and by. But that's not yet. We're not in that sweet by and by just yet. We're not in heaven just yet. And so until then, secondly, we see the reality of now. We see the reality of now. Why do we pray? Well, because we're not there yet. Because we're not in heaven yet. Notice if you turn in your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And notice there, if you would, verse number 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." For we know that the whole creation groaneth. Groaning is not glory. Groaning is the nasty now and now. Notice verse 23. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." The scripture says, not only do they groan, but we ourselves, we groan. And we pray because we groan. We pray because bodies still ache. We pray because we still get sick. We pray because sometimes memory slips us. We pray because death still visits. We pray because tears still fall. We pray because sin still tempts us, and we still do battle with the old man. And that's why we pray. But here's the good news this morning. Heaven does not groan. Heaven does not plead. Heaven does not struggle. We pray this morning because, again, we are not in the sweet by and by. We're still in the nasty now and now. And prayer is the language of the not yet. Vance Havner, he once wrote, he said, over some of our days, God writes, we'll explain later. You know, so we all have those days where you just think, man, what more could go wrong? And those are the days God, you know, he'll just explain those days later. If we are already glorified, prayer wouldn't be necessary. If we were already where we needed to be and who we were now, we wouldn't need to pray. If we were already in the presence of Christ physically, we wouldn't need to pray because we would be too busy beholding Christ and looking upon him for who he is. But we're not there yet. We're still here. And so while we're still here, we pray. And so we see the promise of then, we see the reality of now. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the throne of grace until then. We see the throne of grace until then. Look, if you would, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and notice there, if you would, the last verse of verse number 4, or chapter number 4. All right, so let's begin at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Right now, we have a throne of grace. Then, in heaven, it will be a throne of glory. Right now, we approach by faith. Then, when we get to heaven, we will approach by sight because we'll see him as he is. Prayer is the privilege of pilgrims. You don't write letters to someone sitting across from you. Now, I know in our day and age that seems a little bit silly, because we can be in the same house with one another, sitting on the couch, and instead of talking to one another, we just send each other text messages. I'm sitting on the couch watching TV. Mandy's sitting on the couch watching TV. All of a sudden, my phone will bing, and I'll look down, and it'll be, "Mandy sent you a message." And I'll just look at her, and she'll just smile. And then guess what? I'll do the same thing. But normally we don't do that sort of thing. We don't send letters to someone who's right across from us. When Manny and I, we were dating, we had the call on the phone. We had the text, letters and so on and so forth, because she was in Texas. I was in Philly. And so we had to have that type of communication because we are absent physically. Prayer exists because we are absent physically. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, absent from the Lord. Now that doesn't mean relationally absent, but physically absent. And until then, we pray. There's an old hymn entitled "Until Then." It was written by Stuart Hamblin. And he wrote that hymn "Until Then" after losing his house in a wildfire. Everything he had burned, everything he had. He also wrote, "It is no secret what God can do. What God has done for others, he can do for you." And everything burned to the ground. And he wrote this. He said, a heartache here is but a stepping stone. A stepping stone, now that's not a foundation. It's made for one thing. It's made for stepping. You step on it. You don't stay on it. That's what this world is. Especially for the Christian. This world is a stepping stone. We're not settling here. This world is not our home. We're just stepping here. And then the chorus of that hymn says, until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. That's the Christian life in one phrase. And as Christians this morning, we live in the until. We live in the until. Until what? Until the shout. Until the trumpet. Until the clouds part. Until we are caught up. We pray because we're not yet in the sweet by and by. Because we're still in the nasty now and now. The sweet by and by is this. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the sweet by and by. One day we'll be with Him forevermore. The nasty now and now, that's hospital waiting rooms. That's nursing homes. That's strained marriages. That's prodigal children. That's cancer treatments. That's dialysis machines. That's sin we still fight. That's bodies that still ache. That's financial pressure. Bodies that don't work like they used to. Gravesides, temptation, spiritual warfare, creation groaning, saints battling sin, bodies aging, hospitals filling, graves opening. That's what the nasty now and now is. That's what we still have to face here on this earth. But I'm thankful this morning that heaven doesn't need prayer. That in heaven there are no hospital waiting rooms. In heaven there is no nursing home. In heaven there are no prodigal children. In heaven there are no strained marriages. In heaven there is no cancer treatments. In heaven there is no dialysis. In heaven there's no sin that we still fight. In heaven, our bodies will not ache because we'll have new bodies and we'll have new minds. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for those new minds someday. In heaven, there'll be no financial pressure. We'll own a mansion and we won't have to pay for heating. We won't have to pay for air conditioning. We won't have to pay for electric. There's no financial pressure in heaven. In heaven, we won't have to worry about gravesides or temptation or spiritual warfare. Heaven doesn't need prayer. The nasty now and now where we are right now, yes, it does need prayer. Prayer is the language of the until. And until then, we pray. Until then, we pray. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I want you to think carefully this morning about what ends when the then finally arrives. You see, when we rise, there'll be no more confession. When we rise, there'll be no more, Lord, forgive me. There'll be no more intercession for the sick. There'll be no more pleading for prodigals. There'll be no more asking for strength. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears. There'll be no tears in heaven. Prayer ends. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Prayer ends because the needs end. Prayer ends because we're no longer absent from God. Prayer ends because now we have access to Him. We have access to Him now, but now we'll have access to Him physically, in His presence, for all of eternity. We will not bow our head in heaven. Instead, we'll bow our knee in heaven when we behold Him and worship Him for who He is. We will not plead, but we will praise. And while passing through the air, we will shout, "Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You are necessary in the nasty now and now, but now we're home in the sweet by and by." And so this morning, don't waste the until. If prayer is temporary, and it is, treasure it. You will never pray in heaven. You will never exercise faith in heaven. You will never wrestle in prayer in heaven. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. Why? Because until then, this is your season. Pray for your children now. Pray for your grandchildren now. Pray for revival now. Pray for souls now. Pray for boldness. Pray for endurance. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for your church. Pray for them now. And until then, carry on. Until then, keep kneeling. Until then, keep trusting. One day, we'll drop this robe of flesh. We'll be caught up together. And as we pass through the clouds, we'll be singing, "Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.